Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of our weekly Flats and Shanks podcast. I am Flats, a.k.a. David Flatman.
I am Shanks, a.k.a. Tom Shanks.
All right, Tom?
Yeah, good. I'm all right.
Well, I got a text from... Go on. I got a text from Mark Durden-Smith saying he was late yesterday to Chiefs. He's late everywhere because he's posh. And
arrogant.
He said, don't rush. I'm a bit late, fella/boy. And obviously he doesn't listen to our podcast, but he'd listen to one. He goes, it's so annoying the way you call each other fella and boy. I said, and it's become this fella-boy hybrid. It's awful. So it's a joke, you muppet. Is it? Well, it's not a very funny one. It's annoying.
You know if you're texting someone and you've called them like fella or pal or folla.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a joke, but also it's
very serious.
It's derogatory. It means you don't really like him, or you know you're trying to.
Yeah. But also he won't call anyone mate. I've never heard him say the word mate.
Chum, I bet he uses. Because he's super duper posh.
They're friends of yours, they're friends of yours, they're chums of yours, they're friends, yeah? They're mates, say mates. Or I say to him sometimes, when he walks past people, that you see a million people you know at all the games, and he's like, hello there, hello, hi there, hello. It's like, why don't you just say hi, mate, once? No, why don't I say hi, mate? It's impolite, it's insincere, is what he says, it's insincere.
Insincere.
Hello there.
What
have you been up to, boy?
Well, I hurt my shoulder. Believe it or not. So, yeah. I mean, it's not through weights either. It's through... I mean, I was supporting my own body weight, but I was climbing up a tree.
Oh.
Yeah. So, it's hurting a bit, mate, if I'm honest.
Did you fall out of the tree?
No, I was just... It was quite a high branch, so I sort of pulled myself up and didn't feel anything, but last night... You know, I've done something. I've stretched a tendon. So, you know, I might be in a bit of a bad mood today because I couldn't work out in the morning, and I like to work out in the morning because it just sets me up for the day, mate. You know, it gets all the endorphins going. It sets me in a positive mind.
Endorphins.
For what's to come. So,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, sorry if I'm a little bit down today, guys, fella. but I'm injured. I need some Voltarol gel. That's what I need.
Yeah, I still keep that for my Achilles.
Yeah, does it work?
I still keep that bedside. It does, yeah. I sometimes put a load on and then put a sock on overnight.
I could do with finding like a 1980s ultrasound machine. Because...
Did they work?
Well, ultrasound cures everything, doesn't it? That's the first thing That's the first thing a physio puts on you, is it ultrasound.
Right, on a bed. Right, yeah. On a bed.
It's ultrasound that. And you know, it's not even turned on half the time, I don't think. But they just put a bit of gel on, a bit of cold gel on, move it around, Mark Davis carcass. See you tomorrow. Mark Davis carcass, you know, the Welsh physio?
Yeah, Welsh physio, yeah.
Always had a mullet. He used to make you do it yourself. That was it. Yeah, so you could go off and treat someone else or just do Ken Bruce. What's it called? What does Ken Bruce do in the mornings on Radio 2? He does like the quiz, doesn't he?
Is he Ken Bruce? Is that Ken Bruce?
Yes.
Ken Bruce.
Yeah. So he can answer questions on music. Popmaster. That's what he does.
There you go, boy.
Yeah.
There you go, fella.
So yeah, could do with a bit of that, but apart from that, I'm all right. I mean, quite a quiet weekend. My wife went to London for a couple of days, so I looked after their kids. And
not difficult.
I mean, it was difficult actually. I was going to put on Twitter. He's 7 months, isn't he? They're youngest. I was going to put on Twitter how many rusks can you feed a 7-month-year-old? You know, like without him falling ill,
without him becoming a rusk.
Because that was the only thing that really kept him quiet. And I'm not stupid, you know. I'd feed him half a rusk at a time, but
you're not an animal.
He loves them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the only way to keep him quiet.
As long as it's not unhealthy stuff, you're not just feeding them. It's a jar of Nutella and a wooden spoon.
No,
it's like just keep them going, mate.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Just keep feeding them in like a wood chipper, isn't he?
Yeah, just Farley's rusks. Get in, get them into him. He's quiet. He's happy. That's all you want. A happy baby.
My kids have been away for 2 weeks, and I don't like it. I don't like it. It's nice to have a break. Let's be honest. I don't like it. They went skiing for a week with their grandpa. Was Alpa, because he's Dutch, and they had a great time. And then they went from the south of France. They flew down there. Then they flew to Holland, where Alpa and Oma are from.
First class.
They live in no,
of course they
stayed
kids
in their place in Holland, and they're still there. And they're coming back tomorrow. Okay. Tomorrow being Tuesday, I'm picking them up for the airport, and I'm very much looking forward to it. I mean, I'll hate them by tea time.
But, oh yeah, of course. Of course, you just want to give them back after an hour, don't you? You just want a bit of love, but some hugs. I've missed you, and then right, see you later.
Lucky little girls. A couple of holidays. You been up to much, boy? Have you had a busy time, or is it starting to cool down a bit after the Six Nations?
Cool down a little bit, my lad. But it was I was at the Scarlets on Saturday with the Nuggeteer.
Of course you were.
And Ross Harries.
Harries.
We'll take the E out. We've talked about this.
But
that was it, really. I mean, it'll calm down a little bit, but then next week we're taking a load of customers with Gennaro to Judgment Day. So that's a big game, two big games in the Principality Stadium. But then it will get a little bit quieter, but I mean, it's nice to be quiet, isn't it? Even if it's just for 2 or 3 weeks. And then you've got the... We've got the Rugby World Cup internationals, haven't we? Pre-internationals, the warm-up games.
Yeah.
So they'll hit us hard and fast. And we're doing a live event in Walkabout before the Wales-England game, which is the 17th. Is it the 17th of August? It is the 17th of August.
Yeah.
And then we've
got a date. We've got a guest in mind, haven't we? But it's just TBC.
Yes. He's a good guest. He's a lively guest. He's a social guest.
Yeah, so it's just TBC at the moment, ironing out a few terms, aren't we?
Yeah, but if you go on our Twitter page, you can find out where to book. Make sure you book early, because last time we did it with Shane Williams, it was ramajam, chock-a-block. It was sold out, so early.
It sold out pretty quick, because it's obviously because of you and me. But
we're tops off, necking pints, singing songs.
Yeah, have a look at us. What do you think we look like naked? You know, grade us 1 to 3. That's what we want.
And when you bring your guitar as well, it just takes it to another level, doesn't it?
Yeah, we'll have a nice time. So we'll reveal our guest just as soon as he/she has signed up.
What have you been up to then?
Oh, fella boy. It's so nice that it's calmed down a little bit, to be honest. I've enjoyed the Six Nations period and the little Six Nations hangover, but it's much more relaxed time. So I went to a lunch with Heston Blumenthal on Wednesday, which sounds cool, doesn't it?
Yeah, you went with Matthew Hoggard, didn't you?
With Hoggy, yeah.
We did the pod on Wednesday, so...
I mean, yeah, that's right. Yeah, because he wasn't there. But otherwise, mate, it's been like really nicely chilled, actually. I did a bit... I did a bit of stuff. So I went up to Newcastle on Friday night for the Newcastle with BT for the Newcastle against Leicester game.
Yes,
and
you did.
You know, it's one of those little. The next day, I already had something in the diary with Ugo, and it just meant that you come off air at 10, half 10 or something, and you got to get in a car straight away. I got in a car and drove to Worksop, which is quite a long way from Newcastle at half 10.
Never heard of the place. Where is it?
Well, it's up north, isn't it? So you sort of check into a hotel at 20 to 2 in the morning. 7 o'clock, your alarm goes off, and you're back at it, mate.
Yeah. That's the real world, though, mate. That's the real world.
Yeah. But I was meant to have... I was meant to have dinner with James Forrester, with Alex Brown, Andy Hazel, Ollie Morgan, basically a lot of the Gloucester boys,
yeah.
And James Simpson Daniel, and we all booked into this restaurant called Codge, which I told you about. I went to it during Cheltenham with Matt Power, and just happened to be a guy from my school that owned it and ran it and whatever. Codge. But I unfortunately had to bin that to go to Newcastle.
Codge Mahal.
Codge Mahal, yeah. But then it was actually quite nice because I got to watch the finished work in Worksop. And I was meant to, of course, do the Channel 5 live game, which was Gloucester Bath at King's Home. But because they swapped the dates, it was only like a few weeks ago, we got an email saying, by the way, we didn't really know, but we're no longer doing the game you thought you were doing, and we're doing the West Country Derby. Oh. So a load of us just couldn't do it. I know, so we just had to say, sorry, can't do that. But I finished work at about 5 to 3 with Ugo in Worksop, got in the back of a car. Luckily, they drove me home, which was very nice of them, and watched the whole game on the BT Sport app in the back of the car on 4G. And it was actually genius. Quite a nice way to watch a game, that.
I do think it's a really good app. I watch a lot of it on
iPad is a really good app.
On the computer. But, you know, it highlights where there's tries, where there's penalties, conversions, the lot. So you can, if you've missed it and you're tuning in late, you can just scroll back and have a look at some of the highlights. It's really good.
Yeah, it was great.
I do enjoy it.
And then down to Chiefs. On Saturday night, I went at Ollie Barkley and a few other mates, and Andy Beattie, the old back rower.
Yeah, the beast.
Yeah, and a few other mates, one of whom is called Rooter. And we call him Rooter because we had an Australian coach, Michael Foley, who was the Aussie hooker.
Yeah.
And he was convinced that, his name's Andy Owen, he was convinced that he was out there just pulling every single woman he could, and he was nonstop at it. Because he was such a nice guy, he's like, I don't believe it. No one's that nice. You're a Rooter, mate. You're a Rooter. So he called him Rooter, and it just stuck. And then he got this lovely new girlfriend who happened to be a mate of mine and Ollie Barkley's before he even met her. And one of Ollie's best mates.
Friend?
No, I live with Ollie, like best mates. Yeah. And genuinely platonic. And
she's just very pretty as well. Carry on.
Anyway, so she was like, why do they call him Rooter? And I was like, oh, he used to be our video analyst at Bath. Then he went to Gloucester. And I was like, oh, because he's really good with computers.
He's always sharing Wi-Fi passwords on your phone.
He's like, oh, good. So it's not to do with, like, you know, putting it about and getting around. I said, no.
No way.
He is so good with tech, with IT. Anyway, she still doesn't know.
Unless she listens to this. Stitched him right up.
She's got two kids, mate. She doesn't listen to podcasts. No. So went there Saturday night and then went down to Chiefs on walked the dogs and went down to Chiefs on Sunday, being yesterday.
On Sunday?
Which was actually a hell of a match and didn't expect that result. We'll talk about that in a minute. But there you are, really quiet, mate. So it's really nice, actually, to not have much to report.
Yes. I mean...
Because there's always a lot to report and there's not a lot, and I love that sometimes.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Well, let's just talk about the Chiefs now. I mean, you've teed it up very well. You were down there.
Speaking of teed, before we talk about Chiefs, Tiger Woods.
Oh, mate.
I didn't watch. Let me just. You watched the golf. I did not watch 1 minute of it because it doesn't really interest me and I'm doing other stuff.
It's got to interest you, mate. The Masters. Everyone was in contention.
I watched the news last night to see the bit on Tiger Woods, and I must say, I don't know anything about golf, but I am over the moon. I'm over the Ben Moon, the Rupert Moon, that Tiger Woods won that. I love it.
Well, to start with, mate, I thought it was going to ruin my day because they put the tee off times early in American time. So
I saw you tweeted. You weren't happy.
No, it was like 2 o'clock, you know, UK time. So I was thinking, the good thing about the US golf is that it's on in the evening. So, you know, your duties are done, the kids are in bed, you can just put your feet up,
you
watch
it. You tick that box.
Yeah. But I managed to crack into it at about 3, 4 o'clock yesterday. And obviously, you get to watch the best because the golfers that are in contention with the best scores tee off last, okay? There's a split tee off time as well because of the weather. So it just means they get round faster and they were in three balls as well. But it was anybody's. Frankie Molinari was 2 shots ahead going into the final round, and he was solid all the way through. Then he hit the water on a par three, right? So he drops 2 shots.
Yeah.
He ends up dropping 2 shots. But he's still in contention. Yeah. Then he hits a tree branch, and the ball goes into the water again, and that's him out. 2 bad shots, he's out of it.
Amazing.
Then you've got Bubba Watson. He's storming ahead. He's a late charge. Brooks Koepka, right back in it. Tony Finau. Tiger Woods, you know, he's leading by, I think it's 2 shots going into the last hole. And you just know he's going to win it. He's that good a player. But you think, you know, it's 11 years. I think it was 2008 was his last major title. So it's a long time that he's gone without one. And
incredible.
You just think, will the nerves come back? Because, you know, that is a long time without knowing what it's like to close off a major tournament
like
that.
The pressure on him as well. I mean,
but Brooks Koepka, right, he could have nailed his putt on the 18th. He was a group ahead for a birdie, but he just misses it. And it was quite a small putt as well. And had he got that, potentially, it would have been a playoff between him and Tiger because he would have got himself to whatever the score was, 13 under. And Tiger ended up bogeying the last hole. But I just love the scenes after. It's brilliant scenes. You don't see much emotion from Tiger at all.
No, but when he cuddled his boy, I was watching. I'm not afraid to tell you, I'm a bit of a crier since I had kids. And as soon as he picked up his boy and was cuddling his boy and his mum, I had tears in my eyes.
Then as well, and his mate. But just to see him smiling and showing that raw emotion that you don't normally see. You know, he's normally like the Iceman. He's normally a real cool customer, just takes it all in his stride. But this was massive. This was a huge tournament for him. Probably. I don't want to speak for him. I mean, I'll have a chat with him later, but
text him, see what he says.
Probably up there with one of the best majors he's ever won.
Yeah.
And I do find it really strange, though, the whole process of presenting the green jacket after. They're in like a little lodge in Augusta.
Why do they keep that? It's crap, that. But it's so like, awkward.
I know, it's really awkward. They've got the amateur winner there as well. They've got the past winner and they've got the current winner because the past winner always passes the jacket to the current winner. But it's like, who can talk with the quietest of sensitivest voice? Who can really tone their voice to make it sound really, really smooth when they're talking to Tiger? And it is just... So Patrick Reed, who won it last year, presents Tiger with a jacket. And, you know, you don't see that in any other sport. You know, you're normally out in front of everyone, you get presented a trophy, but the Masters is synonymous with the green jacket. And, you know, if there's a major to win, I think, you know, the Masters is the biggest one because of the history of the green jackets. And But phenomenal, mate. Absolutely.
Bigger than the Ryder Cup?
Hey? Well, the Ryder Cup's only Europe and America. Whilst,
no, it's not a major, but I'm just thinking a bigger event.
Possibly not in terms of crowd participation, because the Ryder Cup becomes a team sport, so it's us versus them. Whilst, you know, the majors, masters, are all, you're all supporting individual golfers, really. But
sure,
everyone wanted Tiger to win. If it wasn't one of your own, like Poulter was in with a chance, and, you know, you'd, it'd be nice
I wanted Ian Poulter to win. Yeah. Once he's out of it, I want Tiger to win.
Molinari, though, was good. I mean, I wanted Koepka to win because I had a bet on him. But I also wanted Bubba to win because I had him at 50-1, but charge was too late. But phenomenal. But anyway, right, Exeter Wasps. Let's crack on.
Do you know what? It was brilliant because it started just how you thought it would start.
Yeah.
Exeter ripping into it, scoring a lovely try, everyone grinning, Henry Slade, you know, glowing in the sun.
I loved Willie LaRue's attempted tackle on Jack Noel.
Mate, what breaks me a bit?
There's no way he should miss that tackle because there's just not enough room. It's just, I don't know what it is. It's lack of commitment. That's what it is.
Yeah, but there's then a bit of a scuffle later on and he's in there shoving people around. I'm like, mate, don't start shoving people around if you're not going to at least whack Jack Noel in a tackle.
Oh, so like, you want to punch people and you want to push people, but then a one-on-one, you don't really want to make it.
Well, he knows he can't get punched because no one's punched anyone for years in rugby. So he knows he's safe. He can just be a tough guy. And it's like, mate, whack the bloke. Jack Noel is brutally hard to tackle in those situations.
I agree.
But at least whack him.
There's no room there, though, mate. To, you know, he's just, that's lack of commitment.
Yeah, I agree.
It's weak.
But
he still has to finish off the try, yeah.
Yeah, but it was... But Gloucester just were properly up for it. And they were not playing from everywhere, but they were playing with proper ambition. Mega physical. Oh, my God, Nathan Hughes.
Yeah.
Last week against Worcester, he was really, really dominant. He was excellent. So was Brad Shields. But respectfully, that's not the same as Chiefs away at Sandy Park. And he properly brought the thunder. Like, he was just maiming people. Like, and it was only, we'll talk about this in a minute, it was only the third best number eight performance I saw all weekend. And he was so dominant, like, just whacking people.
But also, Joe Simpson made 25 tackles. That's a huge amount of tackles for a scrum half.
That's unbelievable.
Good. But, I mean, we've just given Willie LaRue a bit of a hard time defensively. But when he's in attack, because he's 15 and because... As a 15, you can sort of roam the area. You can either stay out wide and you can either sort of be like a strike runner, or if you're skillful, you know, like your Goods, I suppose Daly when he plays there as well, is that you can just slot in at the second receiver. But that really suits LaRue, just becoming that second receiver off Sopawana. So Sopawana, he'll pull it behind a pot of forwards to LaRue, and then LaRue just ends up running laterally. He's got a really good passing game as well. And it just suits Wasps because they're danger men outside in Watson, Bassett and Daly. You know, there's threats there, there's pace there, and that's the channels they want to get it down. So he suits that role like no one else. And you look at the break Daly made, you know, just gets outside Woodburn and Cowan Dickey's on the wing. You see a lot of forwards hanging out on wings, you know, that play the similar way to Exeter, because you always want to have, you know, when you got the ball, you always want to have people in those wide channels because you're playing a wide game. So, you know, you're trying to stretch defenders. But Cowan Dickey wouldn't necessarily know that well how to defend on a wing and just gets sucked in.
Just needed to stay out, didn't he?
Yeah.
But also you need, when you've got someone out there who's not a very experienced defender, because wingers step in all the time, don't they? But you need...
But he didn't need to step in because, you know, Woodburn's got Daly, and then...
Yeah, but if I'm outside you, I'm almost looking at you thinking, what do I do? And you need to just say, go, 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 so I do not step in. That's all I need to hear is that. So I know that if I almost force him back inside, if anything, and then you're there. But I always used to think, when I'm out there, don't step in unless someone says, I haven't got him, whatever. And I... panic stations, but I just think it's either go or no.
You can't turn your body in like that as well. You know, you got to be, because, you know, that's, you turn your body in like that, you lose momentum. So the point and the hardest thing about being a winner is that you don't sort of lose momentum, because as soon as that pass goes, you know, you've got to be able to accelerate quickly. And if all your momentum's gone because you've ended up having to turn your shoulders in and lose your feet, then he's gone. And that's what happens, basically. But the massive thing was for Wasps scoring on the red. I mean, nothing's on, and Nathan Hughes just grubs it through. It's one of those kicks where, you know, that wouldn't ever happen again, because, you know, it was a strange bounce that ends up going into Watson's hands. But,
yeah,
I mean, if you don't shoot, you don't score. I've always said that. If you don't grub at the ball, you don't score. He was.
I wonder, Tommy, if Anthony Watson's the big dog of those two so far, the Lion and all that, but I wonder if Marcus Watson isn't the purest threat on the wing, you know, the pure winger of the two, and Anthony Watson's perhaps in attack, maybe more suited to fullback. Maybe I'm making that up.
Don't know. I mean, Marcus Watson, you know, learnt his trade really in the seven scene. You know, so in terms of pure finishing, you know, there's not a better sport to play than sevens, because that's all it is, especially for someone like Marcus Watson. You know, you get one-on-ones with a bit of space, you have to finish, and he does.
And just quietly, two of the best wingers in the Prem the last few months have been Marcus Watson and Rory McConaghy from Bath, two sevens guys. So, you know, as if we need a convincing, sevens players can make very effective 15s players, believe it or not. They manage it in New Zealand, don't seem to manage it here very often.
But, the best try was... Zvanilia. Is it Zvanilia?
Zvanilia.
Lubovalu.
ZZ. They call him ZZ.
Yes.
By the way, Austin in comms called him Lovabalovalu. It's Lovabalavu.
Lovabalavu. You know, that off.
Lovabalavu.
Lovabalavu. Off. They're bound to have nicknames for all of them, aren't they?
Yeah. No, it's just easier. His name's L.
It's like Toby Faletau. Fal Felice. Fowl and Toby. It's a lot easier, isn't it?
Yeah, much easier. Yeah.
Yep. But the space he creates with that little offload and then the interlink passing. But Zvalia, I loved his try celebration, just crosses hands.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
But
it was
the last 2 minutes, which was, I think, would really impress Dai Young and just give him that extra confidence, because Exeter were all over him. And
proper aggressive D, wasn't it?
Really aggressive. And Josh Bassett ends up somehow keeping the ball in with a minute to go. He boshes his man into touch and then, for some reason, throws the ball back in. And you're thinking, if anything, throw it out. Waste of time. But, I mean, it was nice for Wasps. It was nice for Dai Young just to seal that game off, and a massive win as well up in Exeter. Not many teams do that.
No.
Do they at all? And it brings Wasps up to fifth.
I know. And it... I spoke to Joe Launchbury after the game, and it's like, does it feel nuts that you had such a poor season, really, overall? Like, your words, not mine, but it's obvious. And yet you're fifth. And he's like, yeah, it does, but it's kind of one of those seasons where everyone's lost a load of games, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, look at Chiefs yesterday. Look at Sarries at the weekend. We'll talk about that in a minute. Everyone's losing. Well, so, actually, it makes it a better league.
We'll talk about it now, if you want, mate.
Let's talk about it,
Bristol,
then, boy.
So, Bristol, totally safe. And that must be... a huge weight off the shoulders. Good on them. They've come up this year. It's not all gone brilliantly. You know, they've come up before and gone straight back down. But, you know, they found a way of winning some important games. And this was a massive game for Bristol. Massive win, should I say. I mean, Saracens are obviously thinking about the semi-final they've got next week. There's no doubt about that. Why wouldn't you? Because that is a big game. That's more important than the league at the moment, because they're going to qualify for the playoffs. And, you know, European top-tier competition. But Matt Prothero at 15, another example of how you don't need to be big and physical to play the game.
I thought he's really good.
He's
just really good.
He was excellent. Dan Thomas at 7, probably not the biggest of 7.
He's one of those players, boy, that we're like, do you know what? He's got to play for Wales. He's got to. Then it's like...
Yeah,
the age-old question, who'd you drop then? And there's tons of them. Thomas Young can't get a first-choice start. And you're like...
James Davis.
There are so many of them. Yeah, Cubby Boy, there are so many of them.
But what I really loved about Bristol's win was that final try for Dan Thomas, right? It was a lovely little hole that opens for John Alafoa, but that is a difficult 2-on-1. That's not just a simple one. You know, there's timing in that pass. You know, you've got the 15 just backing off. You know, it's not an easy one to do, but the timing of the 2v1 to Dan Thomas, it's just class, mate.
Let me say this to you about John Alafoa, right? Mako Vunipola is the best ball carrying, distributing, probably offloading prop, if not in the world, pretty close to it.
Okay, yeah.
John Alafoa is the best prop in the Premiership in terms of core skills. So close 2-on-1s, turning 3-on-2s, converting 3-on-2s.
Yeah.
He is brilliant. And yeah. I've watched him, you go to all these games, I've watched him in warm-ups. And there is, you know, it's John Alafoa and Danny Cipriani are the two guys with the quickest hands I've seen in those little 2-on-1 drills. Cipriani's a joke, because we'll talk about him in a minute, but he's a joke because he's just got skills for years and months and weeks. But John Alafoa is like that. And the stuff he pulls off in warm-ups, you're like...
Yeah.
And he's obviously just practicing it every day. When these situations come, he never cocks it up. He produces the best 2-on-1s. He's honestly, in terms of 2-on-1 opportunity versus conversion, he would be up there with the best. I mean, he does this sort of stuff reasonably often over the course of a season, and he's just class at it. He's just such a good rugby player.
So those kids listening, practice your core skills. But it's Jackson Ray that gives the penalty away at the end, and what a kick by Ian
Wasn't
Madigan.
It Billy Vunipola, or was it Jackson Ray?
Jackson
not rolling
Ray.
Away?
Now, it's it's not the hardest of kicks, right, because it's in front of the post and between the 22 and the 40-metre line, but it's a pressure kick, and that, you know, pressure does funny things to people. But Jackson Ray, so he goes to the ball, but he goes past the ball, because, you know, often when you're jackling, you know, you're behind the back foot, your hands are over, you give it a go, you let go. But because he's gone past the ball, he then gets pulled into the ruck.
Yeah.
He sort of gets tackled into the ruck because he's gone past the ball, because there's, you know, it's a difficult clean out, really, to try and wipe him out. So he ends up going into the ruck, and then he can't move, and he's looking at the ref, and it's one of those penalties where you can't do anything about it. You know, when you go to jackal past the ball like that, there's a chance you're going to get pulled into the ruck, and then there's a chance that Bristol, the team with the ball, aren't going to be able to get clean ball away. And easy option for the ref. What's your technique?
I've got a technique for not giving away penalties there.
A spell.
Zach Fainati taught me this once. He's like, if you're pinned down and you can't get off the ball, wriggle like frig, like a rugby league player.
Yeah.
Like a rugby league player being electrocuted. And if that doesn't work after 2 seconds, punch somebody.
Yeah.
Throw a punch, because you're so angry they're holding you in. You might get pinged for the punch, but you're going to get pinged anyway.
You're going to get pinged, you know, even if...
But even if now you throttle somebody or something, you don't actually punch somebody, or you grab them by the head or whatever, or by the collar and yank them around, you go proper aggressive on it. So the referee knows you're angry at being held in, and you might not get pinged. They might say, do you know what? I know you're angry, but I see you being held in.
Yeah.
Whereas you're going to get pinged anyway.
I think he was trying, but there was a lot of weight on top of him. So it was one of those where you can't really, you know, he didn't have any body parts free to wriggle. But, you know, given the ref a picture, and, you know, you look at that, it's a penalty. And Ian Madigan slots it. And I just love the celebrations. I love the fact that Bristol Bears put the lyrics of their celebratory song underneath for us.
Oh, just for us. Well. Yeah, that's right. And were you singing along? Because I was.
Yeah.
It was great, that.
In my head.
I kept trying to get the rhythm right. Like, bird, where be ye?
Yeah.
So I've sung it before loads of times in the bath, like, bath around Bath, and I never knew the words. I always go, blackbird, where be ye? Blackbird, I'll have ye.
Yeah.
That was it.
So, Gloucester Bath.
Do you know what? It's the most compelling game I've watched in ages, and would you like me to tell you why I think that?
I would. Really
okay,
would.
So...
Really? Really,
Gloucester clear favourites, even though they've got a makeshift back three. Well, Purdy's not makeshift. He hasn't played that much this season. Banahan at 15. And it had the market makings of Gloucester should be favourites, but Bath might be able to undo him with a bit of clever play from Freddie Burns. Freddie Burns was absolutely class in that game. He was class. And the first 30 minutes, he was super dominant, best player on the field. After that, Gloucester started to come back into it. And it's easy to say Freddie Burns faded. I don't think he did fade. I really don't. I think he still looked great. But Cipriani came into it more because his pack started dominating. The locks in particular of Gloucester were super dominant, super active. Mostert and Slater. And the back row was great. But I just think Ben Morgan had another great game. Really, really forceful and getting over the gain line. But I just watched that game and you see momentum go. And it go here and there. And it just reminded me of the third test, South Africa, England, a couple of seasons ago, where Cipriani finally got a start for England.
Yeah.
And the first 20, 25 minutes, people are saying, everyone's on Twitter saying, finally gets a start. He's not doing anything. He's invisible, disappears in big games. I knew he would. And I'm watching him thinking, he's not disappearing. He's just, if the space is somewhere else or someone else is better off having the ball, he has grown up enough and got enough vision and patience to let someone else do the stuff, to let someone else get the glory, whatever it is. If he's better off just shipping it on because they're putting loads of pressure on him, he's willing to do that. He's not actually overplaying his hand, and
yeah,
it's not all about him. And I watched him in that game. Gloucester were getting smashed, 17-0, whatever it was. They're getting smashed to bits. Like, Bath was so dominant, shredding them. Freddie's putting them where they want to be. And I watched Cipriani, and he was complete calmness. At 17-0 down, complete calmness. Telling everyone what they need to do, telling the forward pack what he wants, running in, telling the forwards what he wants, running back out again, telling the backs what he wants, telling Banahan where to stand, you know, properly in control. And I watched him just work that team back into the game. And there's a weird thing, partly because Bath have lost loads of games where they've been ahead this season. But more than that, moreover, because I watched Cipriani, just felt inevitable that Gloucester were going to score tries. It felt inevitable because he just... everyone says, oh, he plans three or four phases ahead. I never know if that's balls or not. What I do know is he can look at a defence, he can have a glance at a defence, he can look back, receive the ball from his nine, and he knows exactly what to do almost every time. And yes, he produced some moments of brilliance, like the no-look pass to Josh Honeck was just savage. Like, it's just, apart from anything else, it's just cool.
But also, the clock had gone red for the end of the first half then, so it was a massive momentum swinger as well, because, you know, if that stays as it is, it's 17-0 to Bath half time. But
yeah,
it doesn't. And as a defender, you always, you know, you're taught to look what's in front of you, but you also got to keep scanning. So you've got to keep looking at players. And he's a type of player that you just cannot read, because you think he's going to throw the ball out the back, like Jamie Roberts did. He throws it short. You think he's going to throw it short, he throws it out the back. There is no point really looking at him, because it's a lottery as to what you think he's going to do to what he does.
Yeah, and it just, the control he took over that game, it was just like that England game. He came into it later, second half, more and more influenced, then produces the moment of genius that wins in the game. And I watched that, and I've thought it for ages, and I watched it and just thought, there is no better rugby player in England. There isn't one. I'm not talking about in the Premiership, because there are other guys. I mean, I think there probably aren't, actually, but, you know, Leah Williams might have a shout at the moment. But in terms of English players playing in England, I do not think there is a better one. And in terms of fly halves, I mean,
I do think you need a big bruiser. Not a big bruiser, but you need someone who's decent in the contact area, sort of around him. So
Atkinson's
someone like Mark
great.
Atkinson. Yeah, exactly.
Great.
So you need a player like that, because if you have, say, a fairly lightweight 12 around him, then, you know, if you're an attacking team, it's going to be, the yards are going to be too easy to get.
Manu Tuilagi at 12, yeah, or Owen Farrell at 12, who can whack people if
yep.
you want.
Yep.
And Slade or Joseph at 13.
Yep.
You know, it's one of those things that, in terms of just this, my view, and I could, you know, you might know better than me.
I will carry on.
I cannot imagine picking an England team without Owen Farrell in it, because he's a beast. And it's not just a big beast, he is a competitive beast. And that is so useful. It's so handy. It's like Dan Biggar. Dan Biggar's won Wales games and Saints games a couple of times just through, it seems like, sheer force of will, he's won them games. Now, if you. But in terms of pure fly half play, George Ford, to my eye, is a superior fly half to Owen Farrell. And I don't feel there's much argument there. George Ford has been brilliant this season, and he is brilliant. But I think Cipriani is a level ahead again. And I think that what you're talking about is England going to a World Cup with their third choice fly half playing fly half. And although he's a wonderful player, if you're talking about systematically unlocking defences and guiding a team, I think if you give Cipriani the keys, you stand a better chance of winning the World Cup.
I said this before, in terms of England. You look at England, and you know they went on that circa 20 game win. who was your 10 and 12?
Yeah, Fordinator and Fowlinator.
Yeah, and I think it just, I think it gives you another dimension. But saying that, you know, Tuilagi coming back, you know, I feel like he has to play. Slade, I feel he has to play. So what the problem you got, I think, with England is that there's so many players playing well that, you know, like five or six doesn't fit into three.
Here's my thing, Tommy. It does for the All Blacks.
Yeah.
10, 12, 13, they mix it up. 10 less so. But they mix it up. And they, you know, we've said this before in the pod, they've got to World Cup finals with four centres, two 12s, two 13s, who all played loads of rugby.
But maybe they got a clearer, maybe they got a clearer identity of how they want to play. I mean, they, it doesn't really change how they want to play. Whilst I think it does a little bit with England, with personnel.
I guess Manu changes everything. It does. Freak.
But a little word, mate. I've got to do on Matt Banahan as well, because I mean, it's life in the old dog. Yeah. I mean, there's still pace there. Mate. Honestly, you look at when he gets on as a scrum Gloucester. Cipriani sets them all up. Banahan gets on the outside of McConaughey. McConaughey's just...
There's enough pace.
It's too tight. McConaughey can't get him. And all of a sudden then, he feeds Purdy and it's a try. And it nearly happened in the second half as well.
Good pass as well, that.
Really
easily,
good pass.
Easily cocked up pass.
Just
that.
A well-timed pass. But, you know, there's still a lot of... There's still hunger in there. There's still pace in there. The legs haven't gone at all. And it's surprising because he is a big bloke. And you think, right, he's a big bloke. He's strong. Can he actually shift? But 100%
he can. In a foot race, he wouldn't beat many wingers in the Prem. However, on the angle, almost moving laterally, he has got enough pace to do damage still. And he looked great at 15. And under the high ball, he's 7'4" and 18 stone. So, you know, if he's not good under the high ball, he wants putting down. So I don't know. I wonder if there might be a few more games at fullback for him, because I know it's only one game, but he looked great. He looked really, really good. And it's a lot easier to pull an average fullback apart, like England did to a Johan Uge and they did to Robbie Henshaw, not natural fullbacks. But that your pack has to be properly at it to do that, because then you're on the front foot and you're picking your holes and you're not kicking off your heels. But the Gloucester pack is good enough to guarantee that most weeks. And I wonder if there's not a few more games there. I just thought it was the most compelling game, and that purely from a fly half point of view, because I just watched Cipriani and reminded me of that England game. And I just thought, this guy is absolute class, and he's not a chancer. He's not reckless. He just knows what to do better than everyone else. Freddie Burns was brilliant. Love watching him play like that.
Well, that kick from McConaughey, I mean, it's nearly undefendable. You can obviously defend it.
Pretty close to undefendable.
Yeah, it is pretty close because it was that spot on. But what McConaughey does is he hugs that touchline. You know, he's not 5 metres in. He's over the touchline. And that just gives him that little bit of extra room. But the kick is, you can't get a better kick than that.
No, it's brilliant. But George Ford as well, moving up to Kingston. I love that game. But George Ford moving up to Kingston Park for Friday night. It was one of those mega games that was probably more important for Newcastle than it was for Leicester. But the big story was Leicester, because they might go down, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But those games almost always disappoint because there's so much on it. No one wants to do anything. But it didn't. I mean, it was a really, really good game. And a couple of interesting bits were George Ford just running the show for the first half an hour. There was one team in it. And then just a little bit of inexperience. So down the blind side, you had a couple of errors. You had Mike Fitzgerald, who is a really good second row and a really good hard rugby player, on the blind side for Tigers. Now, that's helpful for your scrum. It's helpful for your line out. It's not great around the field, and it's not great defensively off set piece, because he's not as natural at doing what a six does. So Mark Wilson breaks off the base of the scrum, and Fitzgerald is nowhere. He's scrummaging his tits off on Ellis Genge because he's a second row and he's a scrum pig, and he wants Ellis Genge to smash Rodney RU. That battle was great on Friday night, by the way. Rodney RU was brilliant. But he wants to smash him and do him. And it's like, actually, mate, you've got to do just enough to give Genge what he needs, and then you've got to back off. You've got to be ready to fly. And he wasn't, and he got left for dead. And then you've got Jordan Oluwafela now.
I mean, look,
Jordan, horrible fella.
It's not the end of the world that he doesn't get to Mark Wilson, because they're still marked up. It's not like Wilson made a break, you know. But he just gets on the outside of him.
Yeah, but you've got but you've then got, and you'll know, well, this is obvious, really. But we had Rory Underwood walk past us at half time. who's up at the game, and I said, how about that bit of defence from Oluwafella when he got stepped by Gonover? And he goes, the problem is you either get right in his face or you back right off. You don't get half pregnant. They weren't his exact words, but that's what we used to say.
Yeah.
If I don't get half pregnant. And it was that seemed to sum it up perfectly for me, because he just, I mean, that's a big learning for him, that. But Gonover's step off the left was just beautiful.
I know.
Like, but he's 35, mate.
Yeah. What I'm saying is if you pause that when Gonover gets the ball, you're still in a position to nullify the attack. You know, there's still a one-on-one.
Yeah.
But what you're saying is completely right. He's just flat-footed. He's stuck in the mud.
Yeah.
And, wow.
Talk
us through the Gonover step.
He catches it and he sort of bounces and goes and bang. And there's a yard there.
Yeah.
And there's only a metre and a bit, probably 1.5 metres. And he goes around a Premiership winger.
Yeah.
Who's quite tall with long arms without getting touched. And it's just, and he's got everything. He's my blooming fave winger. I love him. And what a step. He's just a beautiful thing to watch in motion, because he's so big and powerful, but he's graceful and he's balanced. Just like, what a player. And feeds it inside to Takalua. Now, George Ford's got him. He's got him. But the problem with Takalua is he's a cannonball. He's got massive forearms. He's really hard to get hold of, and he just bang, bang. He just bullies George Ford in the contact and scores.
You know, you get Farrell in that position, then Farrell's making that tackle.
Farrell gets him, yeah.
That's the only downfall you can see with George Ford. And it's,
you know what, though, mate?
It's not a good attempt. It's not a good attempt, because, you know, he goes twice.
But George does put his body in the way usually.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying he shirks out, but that's just poor technique. You know,
yeah.
If that's the type of tackle you want to make, you have to be real decisive in slapping that hand down. So what he's trying to do is, when that hand comes out from Takalua, he's slapping it down with his left hand. He's rapping with his right. But if that's a tackle you go for, you have to get it spot on, and he doesn't. And then he just ends up falling on his face, and it doesn't look good. If you're a defensive coach, it doesn't look good in any eyes. Right. It's poor, because look, Takalua is powerful, but he's not. You're not talking 16 stone either. You know,
Get a handful of jersey and jump on the floor, because then you stop him.
Yeah. But
Guy Thompson, boy.
Yeah, I know.
Wow, wow, wow.
The turnover as well at the end.
But how good have you got to be that Ben Morgan plays like that?
Yeah.
Nathan Hughes plays like that, and you are still the best number 8 of the weekend by a million miles.
And he's really a 6 or a 7, isn't he, as well?
Yeah, he was class.
There's a little bit of Twitter chat around the clean out of Toby Flood by Gareth Owen.
Yeah.
I know you don't think it was anything wrong with it. And I'm not saying that's, you know, I'm just going on terms of what we've seen for red cards over the last year. And if we want the consistency, which, and that is subjective to who is refereeing the game, you know, one week it's a red card, the other it's not. So it's difficult. You're not got the same ref. But I just don't think, I think they should have had a better look at it. First off, Toby Flood's off his feet. Okay, so
that's your first offence.
It's a penalty. But it looks to me like Gathan intentionally has gone in and sort of shoulder, sort of forearm. The arm comes through as well, and it's connected with Flood's head. So I think they brush past it, and I think potentially that should have been a card.
You see, Apollo the Terminator Perellini, rugby league legend, and he coaches up in Manchester now, I think, or somewhere else, but he did a tweet which summed it up perfectly for me. It's like, the problem is, if we're being pedantic, let's be pedantic. He didn't say these exact words. Let's be pedantic and let's penalise the first offence, which is Toby Flood lying flat on the ball.
Yep.
That's the first offence. Then if you want to clear him off, which is your job, how do you clear him off when he's, let's just say, his face is on the ball, effectively. How do you clear him off? There is no room between his head and his neck and the tackled player.
Yeah, but
there
happens
is no room.
That happens all the time at Jackals. So people manage to do it without shouldering or forearm. It's the height of the jackal.
It's not the same, Tommy. You've got someone lying flat on their front versus someone who's, yes, head and shoulders are on or near the ball, but the rest of their body's up, so you can hit them. You don't have to hit them in the head. You're not trying to get underneath them like a fish slice. You can knock them off balance and they fall off. Most ruckers, or a lot of ruckers, you can hit and they fold backwards.
Yeah.
They fold backwards or fold to the side. And you can't do that with someone lying flat.
No.
So if you just imagine we're both in an empty car park and I've got head and shoulders over the boy in a jackal position, you can hit me from a certain angle or straight on and I'll fold back over my ass or I'll trip over.
Can't
if I'm lying
head
flat
though,
on
mate.
It. No, but if I'm lying flat, I just think he leaves those in the heat of the moment flying in. He leaves those ruckers, those clear out men, with very, very little option. And I think to have a better look, I think you can't argue that it would have been worth having a good look at.
I agree with you, right? But it's his technique. His technique is poor. It looks intentional. It looks like he's gone in to hit Toby Flood's head. He's not clearing out like you're supposed to. He's being clumsy, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay.
So, but look, I'm just going on what we've seen previous red cards for.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't like seeing them because it does ruin games. You look at Imhoff's one, you look at Cipriani's one. There's loads to choose from that's happened this year. And, you know, if you're going to get a red card for instances that we've seen so far, then I think that deserves one. It ruins the game, but I'm saying some of the others aren't red cards either, but in terms of consistency, which is really hard, and I hate saying it.
Ultimately, it's impossible to achieve, but you
yes,
want as much
is.
As possible, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, it was a hell of a
contest.
A hell of a game.
Newcastle,
mate.
I think Newcastle will go down now.
After
what we saw from firstly Bristol, I guess, to a point, but also from Worcester at the weekend. I think.
Yeah. Well, did you see that? Did you see that result come in? 39. 17.
And Steve Diamond said Sale were pathetic.
I love that word. I use it sometimes for the boys when, you know, we've arranged to play golf at 9 and someone turns up at 9:05 mostly, but I just go, mate, it's pathetic.
Yeah. I think you said it to me when I've moved our podcast timings around for the fifth time in a week. Well, to be honest, right? Because we agreed to this pod now. Did it annoy you when I text you and said any chance of doing it tomorrow? It's Monday, 10:30 where we are, people. And I said to he's still on for 10:30 tomorrow, boy. And I texted him back saying, can we do 8:45 tomorrow night, Tuesday night?
And I just put text no. Because I've got to move
just
my
life
Just
for a second, did it annoy you?
No? I'm really chilled, mate. The only thing that annoys me is climbing up a tree and hurting my shoulder. Alex Mitchell scoring a try for Saints off the base.
And James Grayson kicking the points
Why was that? Because it's not as if Dan Bigger's not used to the big occasion at all. You know, he's unbelievably confident bloke, and he would have wanted that kick, but I'm not sure why he didn't take it. Maybe he took a knock early on, but I mean that's irrelevant really, because James Grayson nails the kick and it's a big kick as well. It's huge.
Yeah, not a brilliant game that, but a brilliant kick to end it. And ultimately RC Tuala walks in for their first try, and Mitchell makes a break where you frankly shouldn't be able to make breaks.
Yeah.
Someone's not on it. It's just a defensive error, and you're too easy to score against twice, and you lose at home. And they've now lost 4 on the bounce in the Prem. Top four looks under threat.
Yes,
they're not in a good place. It wasn't a brilliant game, but Saints are doing a brilliant job, and that's why you'd back them to beat Newcastle. I think they play Newcastle at Kingston Park. Chiefs also Newcastle also played Gloucester away, and frankly, they got no chance of winning that game. I'm happy to eat my words, but
so
if
we're
they
saying
win, but...
we're now saying Newcastle down.
Yeah, I reckon. I reckon they're going to really struggle.
After last year.
I know, it's amazing. But Worcester battered Sale. Josh Adams' hat-trick wasn't the hardest hat-trick in the world, to be fair. But yeah. Bryce Heem's yellow card and a dog woo was fair enough. I thought it might have been red, but I feel glad it wasn't. He properly tips him, though.
Yes.
But the player of the game for me was Ethan Waller, the loose head. And not because he was dominant at scrum time and whacking people, because he gave a great pass at the line to Sam Lewis. He went through to score. He played really well. And he was the one that chucked the ball over the top, lobbed miss pass to Josh Adams. You think this is a loose head prop, and we're getting used to it now because we've got
We're blessed.
John Offo as a tight end.
Ball playing props.
Yeah, there's loads of them. But I mean, Christ, that's two brilliant pieces of play. Like, they would have been career defining moments for me. Like, you know, and these boys are doing it every week. They're just
you know what the career defining moment for you was, don't you?
Oh, I wasn't going to mention it. I mean, I produce my best moments at test level, which is you know, the mark of a real test animal.
Argentina.
Yeah.
Phil Christopher's.
Yeah. One legend to another.
Okay, fine. So he was your player of...
Man of the match for that game.
You know, in the Pro 14, you know I cover that. So yeah. This is heating up, okay, because it's top three that go through of both groups. So
yeah.
Munster. So Glasgow finished top of Conference A. They beat Leinster at the weekend really well. It was a great game, that was. Loads of tries, just back and forth. You know, each team kept taking the lead. Really good. Sam Johnson scored another great try. You know, one he scored against England for Scotland. He scores a similar one against Leinster. Looked really good. But, you know, Leinster are focusing on next week as well. European game. And some of their big players weren't playing. But still, you know, you're still representing, you know, the province, which is Leinster, which is just littered with results. And, you know, they lost to, they didn't lose. They drew to Benetton last week in the Pro 14. So, you know, I think a big European win now at the weekend will put things right. But Glasgow, Munster, Connacht, they're all through. Blues had to play Connacht at the weekend. And that was a massive game because we possibly could have a top-tier European competition next year without any Welsh representation, even though they won the Six Nations. So Connacht,
that's amazing.
Yeah it is, but Connacht won that. Blues got a bonus point, but there was a controversy over a try, which was Jason Harris, and it's whether his hand touched the line the same time as the ball in a left hand corner. It's a turnover. It comes to the left. And, you know, when you look at it, and it's easy once you're on social media or you're at home, because you can take as long as you want over it. There's no pressure on you. You decide yourself. It's not 100% clear cut, but it does look like the ball just momentarily hits the ground before his fingers. And it's not given. And the Blues end up losing that game 29-22. So, in terms of how important that decision was, absolutely huge, because the Blues needed to win that. You know, if they win that, they're in the driving seat. They've got the Ospreys and Judgment Day next day. They could finish third, which means they're also in the playoffs and they're in Europe. So, a massive occasion that was. But then you look at the Scarlets as well. Okay, so the Scarlets ended up beating Zebra heavily in the end. I can't remember the score. But I'll tell you right now, it's 42 points to nil. And Johnny McNichol was fabulous through it.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. He qualifies for Wales soon. The whole back row were brilliant for Scarlets. They looked better when Reece Patchell came off the bench, about 50-minute mark. But Kieran Hardy scored a wonder try after a nice bit of work from McNichol again. But in terms of the table now, so the Scarlets they've got the Dragons next week in Judgment Day, right? So they need to finish with a bonus point. Edinburgh need to lose, and Benetton need to lose as well. And Benetton have got Zebra, so it looks like they're going to win. So potentially we're going to have a playoff between either the Blues and Ospreys or Scarlets and Edinburgh as to who gets the final position in Europe. So not looking great, if I'm being brutally honest.
No, it's not, is it?
I mean, Leinster, Ulster, always there, thereabouts, always going to be top, as are Munster and Glasgow. The surprise package this year has been Benetton Treviso.
I know, after all the hammerings we gave them.
Their final game is against Zebra, and, you know, they'll win that. They're a good enough team to win that, which means they're going to finish in third position, which means they get into the playoffs, but also the Heineken Champions Cup. So, lots going on. The Ospreys had a bonus point win, but you'd think that as they were playing, I think it was Southern Kings. So, I mean, it's a big weekend, but there's no relegation in this league. So, that's why it gets exciting, because we have the playoffs. You know, the Gallagher Premiership is exciting, is because, you know, you got relegation.
So there is excitement to be had when relegation doesn't exist, is that what you're telling me?
Massively. It was the Southern Kings, the Ospreys played the Southern Kings, 143-7, and Dan Evans scored three tries. But yeah, I mean, we get excited about the playoffs, we get excited about qualifying for the top tier European competition. You get excited about, really, relegation.
Yeah, that's basically it.
Because it's so close down the bottom.
Well, playoffs are also great fun.
Yeah, playoffs are good. Obviously. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Playoffs are good. But I suppose playoffs for us in the league we play in become less exciting if you don't have any representation there from your home country.
Oh, yeah, hugely.
Yeah.
Hugely. Yeah, there's no
opportunity. Mate, we've gone rugby heavy again.
I know, what we like,
are you feeling all right?
We're blooming mad, aren't we?
Oh,
Should we calm it down a bit? It's because we haven't been busy enough, because we're sitting on our asses doing nothing all week.
I know. We saw a little clip of some of the ITV Japan video.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That we've done.
It looked good, actually, didn't it?
It did look good. It did look
You're not
good.
Allowed to say your own stuff looks good, but it did look... I think it's actually the genius of that is in the editing.
Yeah, not the content. I mean, Harry Hesp done it as ITV's done a good job at editing, but it's more the dramatic music, and we don't want to give too much away, but this is the Firewalk, and it's how the dramatic music just adds to it. It's sort of Top Gear-esque, isn't it?
Yeah, you realise they've done a good job with that.
So that's coming out soon. So hopefully that will come out soon, and you'll be able to view it and then give us your own opinion. But anyway, so our man of the week is Tiger Woods.
A really good man of the week, Tiger Woods. Second, Guy Thompson. Quick little thing, I'm listening to a podcast recommended by Durders, and it's just Desert Island Discs, and it's from 2010.
Nigel Owens on there?
Nigella Lawson.
Ah, okay.
Wow, she's clever.
Is she?
Wow, is she clever. Yeah.
She makes cooking sexy. Sassy.
Oh, don't, mate. I can't think about her too much, otherwise I end up getting hungry.
Yes.
If you know what I'm saying to you.
Yeah.
She's one of my favourites, along with Kirsty Allsop. Anyway.
My favourite is Jamie Oliver. He's my favourite. He's my favourite chef.
You're horrible. You're horrible.
Whack it in that. Have you seen George Dawes doing his Jamie Oliver impression?
Oh, yeah.
He used to do on Shooting Stars.
I say this to you now. Of those two, it surprises me a bit that David Walliams is the one who's gone larger, because I always found Matt Lucas to be infinitely more amusing.
On Shooting Stars, George Dawes, he was phenomenal. Right, I have to say this. Did you watch Line of Duty last night?
No, got it taped, boy. Don't do it to me.
It's one of the best. It's you just can't tell who's good, who's bad.
Did you watch SAS Celebrity Who Dares Wins?
No. Is that good? Is it worth it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't watch it. I've got it taped.
But I'm gonna watch Got tonight. That was recorded at 2 o'clock this morning.
I can't bear my day without having seen it yet.
Okay, I've not seen it yet, but I will.
I'm so excited. It's my favourite TV show in the whole planet.
Okay. Well, fella, I've got to go to the car garage now to get a nail out of a tyre.
No, boy.
Yeah, but I'll probably do, you guys won't know this because by the time you listen to it, it would have done, but I'll probably edit that in the waiting room whilst having a cup of Nescafe coffee.
A cup of Nescafe.
Or a chicken soup. I don't know.
Mate, Nescafe coffee, I'm sorry. I know we might get a sponsor one day that's them and they'll hear this and not sponsor us. Oh, it's horrible. Boy,
I don't mind I don't mind the gold blend.
I mind it.
Okay, well, you're a coffee snob.
What's our best mate, Gareth Watley from Nespresso, going to think about that? Gives us nothing. You think we're plugging now? The bloke gives us nothing, does he? He sent nothing. It's like we're his best mate, all the live pods. We're hugging and doing selfies. He knows where we live. What's the point in having him as a mate?
Yeah, I wish I'd never, ever replied to the hundreds of emails he sent saying, hi, what are you up to?
I'm going to whack him when I see him.
Yeah.
I'll whack him when I see him. Right, lots of love, everyone.
Yeah.
Bye. Happy Easter.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
it.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.